Please join with me in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to come together tonight and to hear your word. We thank you for your word that teaches us how to prosper and how to please you. And we thank you for a church that is committed to your word of truth. We thank you for our parents, our first authorities, our first teachers, and God's representatives to us. And we pray, Lord, that you would help us as we hear tonight how to honor authorities, that we would hear and do for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're going to be speaking about the fifth commandment again tonight. This is the third part in a three-part series on the fifth commandment. I want to start with the text. The fifth commandment in Exodus 20, verse 12 tells us, "Honor your father and your mother, so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you." And by way of brief recap, in previous sessions we spoke about this as an important command. And we looked at dozens of different places where this idea of honoring and obeying parents and so forth is repeated throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament, from the start of the Bible to the end of the Bible. So it's an important command. We also saw that it is a mandatory command. It's not optional. It's a command from God. It's not a way to live your best life. It's also that. But it is a command from God that you must do. We saw that it is also broad in scope, that it applies not just to parents and children. Apparently we're going to be hearing more about that on Sunday. But that it is broad in scope, it applies to all superior-inferior relationships. So anytime there's somebody in charge and somebody under, which is pretty much every situation in your whole life. So it's not merely your father and your mother, but your boss, your teacher, the police, and so forth. We also saw that it is a key command, that to honor is more than obedience. It's a reverence. It's a coming under. And that it has a lot to do with how you do in this life and the next. It controls key outcomes. And then last week, we looked at the duties of parents or superiors as God's delegates to build up and to discipline those underneath him. So this week, we're going to look at children and subordinates. And I want to start with an important point about this command. It says, honor both your father and your mother. That's what it says. Honor your father and your mother. So you must honor both of them. If you only honor your father or you only honor your mother, you've got a 50%. That is a failing grade in any school. So merely honoring your mother or merely honoring your father is, in fact, disobedience. It's rejecting half of God's command. It's rejecting compliance with what God is telling you to do. So you need to do both, that God commands you to honor both your father and your mother. So I'm going to look at five reasons why we should honor father and mother and all other superiors, and then I'm going to give you 10 ways to do it. So five whys and 10 hows. So first, why honor your father and your mother? The simplest answer is because God said so. He says it in his command. He says it throughout the entire Bible. If, as Christians, if we confess Jesus as Lord, then we are going to obey his command, and we are going to obey his command to honor our father and our mother. So that, you could really stop it right there, but we're not going to do that. So first, because God said so. Second, you should honor them because they are God's delegated authorities to you personally. Your father and your mother, your boss, and so forth, these are God's delegates that he puts over you particularly for your good. Now, probably most of these people are honorable in their own right. Your father is smarter than you. Your father is bigger than you. Your father knows more things than you. But we are to honor them as God's ambassadors, first and foremost, because of the position that they hold. And we see this principle in the Bible. Exodus 16:8, for example, Moses himself, a very honorable person, but he is to be honored as God's representatives. And God is not confused about that. God says it's not grumbling against Moses, but they are grumbling against God when they grumble against the person God put over them. And we see that even David respects Saul, a less honorable person. in this affair of the cave. He doesn't want to touch the Lord's anointed, not because Saul is great. Saul has treated David very badly, thrown spears at him, chased him around the desert. But he says, I'm still going to honor him as God's anointed. So we see that you're honoring not necessarily the person, but you're honoring the position. So honor your father and your mother. Not my father and my mother, you can honor them too, but honor your father and your mother. Those are the people God put over you in your life for your particular good. He didn't give me your mother or your father, he gave them to you because that's who you need to tell you how to live. If you honor everybody else's father or mother but neglect your own, you have disobeyed this commandment. So you are to honor him and her. And as I said earlier, this extends to other people. Honor your boss, honor your pastor, honor your husband, honor your teacher. Third reason to honor, the third why, appreciate your father and mother and all delegated authorities as God's gift to you. As I've already said, God gave you a particular father, a particular mother, a particular boss, a particular teacher for you, for your good. Psalm 139:13, see, God knows in advance. It's not random that you ended up assigned with your parents. Psalm 139:13 says, I knit you together in your mother's womb. See, so God placed you under your mother for your good. Or Jeremiah 1:5 says, before you were formed in the womb, I knew you. So it's not a random assignment. God had a plan. God put you in a particular family or in a particular job for your good. And understand also, your parents are there to help you. God didn't give you to your parents to harm you. God gave you to your parents to help you. Deuteronomy 6:7 and 11:19 tell parents to teach the Bible as they walk along the road, as they sit in the house, so on and so forth. Your parents are given to you with a particular charge to speak the word to you. 2 Corinthians 10:8 and 13:10 says that authority that they have from God, whether it's parents or anybody else, that authority is for building you up, not for tearing you down. Your parents wish the very best for you. And you should understand that. It may not feel like it at any particular time, speaking particularly to kids, but your parents wish the best for you. We can see that in Proverbs 1:8. You hear the words of the father. Listen, my son, to your father's instruction and to your mother's teaching. And then listen to what he says about that instruction and teaching. He says it is a garland of grace for your neck. It will help you to gain wisdom. It will teach you prudent behavior. In other words, listen to the commands of your father and your mother, not to benefit your father and your mother, but to benefit you. That is the garland of grace for you. That is the wisdom for you. That will teach you prudent behavior. Proverbs 4 calls it words of life and health. And understand, if you, particularly if you grew up in this church or any true church, your being given to your father and mother is a sign of God's generational love for you and for your family. As I said before, it's not a random assignment. God knew you before the creation of the world. He put you in a family who brought you to a true church. That's love from God. You're part of his generational promise. See, God says he punishes to the third and fourth generation of those who hate him, but he shows love to 1,000 generations of those who love him and keep his commands. So you are blessed by your parents' faith. You're blessed by your parents' obedience. And as I said already, they brought you to a true church. The way I know is you're sitting here right now. So you've been brought to a true church. Most churches are false. Most churches are synagogues of Satan. So if you grew up here or in some other true church, then you owe your parents a major debt of gratitude for bringing you to one of the few places left where you can still hear the true word preached. You should also appreciate your father and mother as God's gift to you because they provided for you. They gave you life. They give you food. They give you shelter. They give you education and much more. They changed your diapers. They cleaned up your throw up when you were sick, even recently for some people. They worked long days and suffered through sleepless nights and provided you with everything you need. And if you think about it, with much more than you need. So you should appreciate parents as God's gift who provided for you. and appreciate them, if for no other reason, that they are smarter and wiser than you. They are more experienced than you. They have more wisdom. They've been around the block, and they're willing to share that with you for your good. So appreciate and honor your father and mother as God's gift to you. Fourth reason to honor your parents, so that it may go well with you. That's God's promise, that it may go well with you. His promise is repeated in Exodus 20, Deuteronomy 12, and Ephesians 6. And his promises are sure. God is truth, and God is able to deliver on his promises. So when he says, honor your father and mother so that it may go well with you, you can guarantee that if you honor your father and mother, it's going to go well with you. And God is not only truth, God is not only able to deliver, but he has a history of delivering. Look at Joshua 21, looking back on all that difficult time, Joshua says, not a single one of God's good promises went unfulfilled. So this is another promise. If you do it, God will bless you. And this going well with you is not merely talking about this life. It's talking about eternal life. He says that you may have long life and that it may go well with you. A long life, even a long, really awesome life where you have everything you could ever want in this life, is pretty meaningless if it ends at the end of 60, 70, 80, 100 years. No, God has an eternal view. So if you honor your father and mother, it may go well with you. Now, we're not speaking about earning your salvation by obedience or anything like that. No, you cannot do that. But you also cannot be saved if you reject your parents' authority over you. Why? Because they are God's delegated and visible authorities to you. If you reject those primary authorities that God gave you, those primary authorities that you see every day in your life, those primary authorities that God commanded you to obey, if you reject them, you've rejected God and he will reject you. So obey God's command to honor your parents, and he will honor you. In fact, it pleases him if you honor your parents. If you think about it, that's our mission in life as Christians, is to please God. And God is pleased if we honor our parents. You'll also have prosperity. It will go well with you. You'll have prosperity in this life if you honor your parents. As I've referred to already, the fifth commandment applies to all authorities. All authorities are from God, Romans 13. We must obey and honor all authorities, Hebrews 13. And of course, again, as I spoke at an earlier time, that's within their legitimate sphere of authority. They cannot tell you to sin. They cannot command you in areas that are outside their authority. For children, that's easy. Your parents pretty much have authority over your entire life. So unless they tell you to sin, you're to honor them and obey them. But for example, your boss can tell you what to do at work. He can't tell you what to do at home. But if that authority is commanding you in a legitimate way, then you honor that authority, and that's the end of it. And if you learn to honor and obey your parents, this will become a pattern for you. You learn to honor and obey in the home. You're going to learn to honor and obey everywhere else. Those, as I said, those are your first and primary authorities are your parents, and they have the broadest scope of authority over you. And this will teach you to honor and obey God. And we've already said that if we honor and obey our parents, who are God's first and visible representatives in our lives, it's going to teach us to honor and obey God. So we're going from the lesser to the greater. But it also works the other way. If you learn to honor and obey your parents, you will learn to honor and obey all lesser authorities. And you will obey the teacher, you will obey the pastor, you will obey the boss, you'll obey that policeman, and it will go well with you. You'll have opportunity at work, you'll have successful ministry in the church, and you put in that extra effort at school, you'll prosper at that school. That teacher, we have many teachers, that teacher is going to be pleased to help that student who honors that teacher, to help that student who wants to go the extra mile. And you'll build up a reservoir of goodwill with all these other authorities. So you honor your boss at work, you are unlikely to get fired for the first mistake that you make. If you are difficult to deal with at work, you may get it for the first mistake that you make. And failure to honor those authorities. So honoring those authorities is you're going to do well. It's going to go well with you. But failure to honor those authorities has the opposite effect. You will always be on thin ice. You will have no reservoir, no margin for error. You'll be the last person picked. You'll get no benefit of the doubt from that teacher, from that boss, from that parent. So succeed in this life by honoring authority, and learn to honor authority by honoring your parents. And then in addition to God's promises, to eternal life, to prosperity in this life, you will receive God's blessing if you honor your parents. It's blessings for obedience. So God says, those who honor me, I will honor. So in other words, you'll prosper not only because it works, but because God's special blessing will be on you. It'll be like the wind at your back. Everything will work out better even than it should work out. You will receive the blessing for obedience. And the opposite is true. If you don't honor your parents, if you don't honor authorities, it not only doesn't work out for you, but it'll be like the wind in your face. You have to work extra hard to go less of the distance. And the fifth why, the fifth reason for honoring parents is honor, your two choices are honor your father and mother or obey the devil. Those are your two choices. There's no third choice. There's no such thing as autonomy. There's no such thing as doing your own thing. God said, honor your father and the mother. The devil says, don't do it. Those are your two choices. So you can either obey God or you can obey the devil. You can either honor God or honor the devil. You can be in the kingdom of God or the kingdom of Satan. There's not a third option. There's no space in between those things. And God put your parents over you and all other authorities too, and he told you to submit to every authority. So think about it this way. God speaks to you and directs you through those delegated authorities. So when that authority speaks, that within its legitimate sphere, when that authority speaks, that's the word of God coming to you. So don't fight that. Rejoice in that. Rejoice that God has made his will clear to you. My mother has told me what to do. I now know the will of God for me in this situation. I'm going to go and do it. And when you obey their legitimate commands, you are obeying God. When you disobey their legitimate commands, you are obeying the devil. The devil's work is to negate God, after all. He's told us told Eve in the garden. God said, you will surely die. The devil said what? You will not surely die. God says, honor your father and mother. The devil says, don't do it. So it's simple as that. Obey and honor your mother. You are obeying and honoring God and the boss and the teacher and the police and so on. Disobey and dishonor your father. You are disobeying and dishonoring God and the boss and the teacher and the police and so on. So there's five reasons why we should honor father and mother. Now, 10 reasons how to honor your father and mother and all other authorities. First, you must be born again. So God commands all people everywhere to repent. That's Acts 17:30. If you reject that command, if you spit in the face of God's gracious promise of salvation through Christ, then you can never truly honor any lesser authority. Think about that. You rejected God, who is the major authority, the only ultimate authority over everything. If you reject him, you can never truly honor any lesser authority. The Bible tells us more than that, that the sinful mind, the unregenerate, the unsaved person is hostile to God. He's going to be hostile to God, and he's going to be hostile to all of God's delegated authorities. That's Romans 8. And Ephesians 2 goes further. It says, you are God's enemy. So any obedience, any honoring that you might do is merely outward, temporary, and meaningless if you are not born again. So first and foremost way to honor your father and mother is get saved. Call upon the name of the Lord, cry out for his mercy, put your faith in Jesus Christ, be born again, and make your calling and election sure. Second how for honoring your father and mother, obey your father and mother. A lot of people think those two words mean the same thing, that honoring father and mother means obeying father and mother, but obedience is a minimum requirement of honoring. It's not some great honor to do what your father or mother tells you to do. That's the floor. It's not the ceiling. It's not some great achievement that you did what your father or mother told you to do. It's not something even to be proud of. I would say obedience is the C minus of honoring. It's the bare minimum that you can do. It is necessary but not sufficient. So you can't obey without, or you can't honor without obedience, but that doesn't mean you can honor by merely obeying. the opposite of obedience, disobedience, is rank dishonor. It's saying to that authority, you can't tell me what to do. And American culture tells us that rebellion is natural. In fact, it's even positive to have that rebellious period in your life. This is a lie. God rejects this lie. God says, this is the way, walk in it. So disobedience to God's authority is disobedience to God, and it is satanically motivated. The assertion of self-will itself is the assertion of me against God. So when I oppose my mother, when I oppose my father, when I tell them they can't tell me what to do, I'm telling God, you can't tell me what to do either. So children, don't do it. Repent of it and renounce it. Parents, don't tolerate it. Oppose it and put it down. Drive it out with the rod of correction. And as we already said, God commands you to obey his delegates. So that's another reason to obey father and mother. God commands you to obey his delegates. We've said, if we are Christians, we've said Jesus is Lord. And Hebrews 13:17 says, obey your leaders. So reject this and you reject God. And I want to say about obedience, too, that obedience has to be wholehearted or it's not obedience at all. Grudging or grumbling obedience is resistance. It just means that you're not very good at resisting if you do it anyway. No, we should obey quickly, exactly, and joyfully. And as I mentioned earlier, see, our goal as Christians is to know, what does God want me to do? What's God's will in my life? Well, when that father or mother tells me, then I know that God's will is coming to me through that parent, through that boss, and I'm happy to know now what God wants me to do. I wanted to do this, but my mother said, don't do it. And now I know God doesn't want me to do that. So we shouldn't resist that. We should be quick to do it. We should be happy that we know God's will and that we know what will be best for us and what will please our Lord and Savior. So anything else, anything other than quick, exact, and joyful obedience is not obedience, it's coerced compliance. So there's two different things, right? Obedience is when I go do it, when I do it happily. Compliance is when my father or mother drags me to do it and forces me to do it. You didn't obey if you were forced to do it. As they taught in the Grace Valley Christian Academy kindergarten, slow obedience is no obedience. The same thing is true whether you're in kindergarten or 42 years old. The third way to honor your father and mother is to render ready and willing obedience. So we should not just obey quickly, exactly, and with joy, but always be ready to obey. Always be prepared to and predisposed to obey. Don't obey with a fight. Obey without a fight. And as I was telling my children earlier this week, don't impose an obedience tax on mom and dad or on the boss or any other person. In other words, yeah, boss, you're going to come and tell me what to do. I'm going to do it, but it's going to cost you. It's going to be a hassle. It's going to be a fight. And the idea of that kind of obedience tax is to wear down mom or dad or the boss until they just give up. Or if I can't beat him that time, at least I can make him think about it next time. Before dad comes and tells me to take out the trash, he's going to say, do I really want to have a fight about it? So it's hard enough to be in charge and to command. Don't make it harder. This kind of resistance to obedience is dishonoring, not honoring. So instead, stand ready to obey. 1 Peter 1:13 says, prepare your minds for action. Well, if you are a young person, you can prepare your minds for obedience at home. Preach it to yourself ahead of time. I'm going to obey my teacher today. I'm going to obey my dad today. I'm going to obey my boss today. I'm going to obey my husband today. So stand ready to obey and even obey before being told. A couple years ago at a retreat, somebody used the phrase anticipatory obedience. So that's a big word, but it means anticipating, looking ahead and obeying before they tell me what to do. Don't make your mom or your dad or your boss tell you what to do if you already know what you're supposed to do. So clean your room. There you go. You don't need any permission to clean your room at home if you're a young person. Do your homework. Take a shower on shower night. Brush your teeth before you go to bed. Be kind to your sister. These are all commands that you have, like running commands at home. Don't sit there and say, well, I'll brush my teeth if dad comes over to me and tells me to brush my teeth. I'll take my shower on shower night if my dad comes and makes me to take a shower. No, do it ahead of time. And that's a serious word for employees, too, especially for employees. You know most of the time what your boss wants you to do ahead of time. Don't make them come and tell you to do it. That's not honoring that boss. That's forcing that boss to force you to do your reports or to turn them in on time or to do them the way the boss likes it. No, instead, do it before you are told. And I have to issue the warning at this point, don't run ahead. So do those things that you know you're supposed to do. Don't guess the things that you're supposed to do and go do those ahead of time. When in doubt, you can go ask mom and dad, should you do those things? So stand ready to obey, obey before being told, but also obey with excellence. So honor that authority by doing an excellent job on that thing you are supposed to do. Not a minimum job, not the average job, not the good enough to get dad to leave me alone job. No, if you want to honor them instead of merely obey them, do it in a way that pleases that authority. My older brother was in the Army for a long time, and he got promoted really fast through the Army. So one time I asked him, how'd you get promoted so fast? And he said, well, I did what everybody else did, but then I took 5 extra minutes and made it shiny. I think in the Army, literally took 5 extra minutes and literally made it shiny. And he got promoted really fast. Why? Because he did it with excellence. So take the extra 5 minutes or whatever it takes and make it shiny. That's a way to honor those who are over you. And if you do that, it'll work for you too. You'll get promoted. You'll experience blessing in the home. But do it primarily as a way to honor the authority. And you honor them not only by doing an excellent job on that particular project, but by consistently doing an excellent job, they know that you are reliable and dependable. They know that they can count on you. If I give a job to somebody to do, I want to give it to a reliable person so I don't have to think about it. I worked for a judge for a long time, and he wrote me a letter of recommendation at the end, and he said, I know that if I give this guy something to do, he's going to do it right. And that was, it was a good honor, but I understood, see, he didn't want to have to guess, can he rely on my work? Did he do a decent job? Did he really look at all the stuff, or did I just kind of slap something together? So honor that boss or that parent by being reliable and dependable. And in addition to these things, kind of under the heading of ready and willing obedience, seek direction from authorities when you don't know what you're supposed to do. Don't avoid the authority or work around the authority. Don't make them sleuth out what the problems are or cross-examine you to get the story. Don't physically avoid them. Mr. Perry, or maybe it was my wife one time, was talking about walking through the halls at the academy, and the student who doesn't want to see you like sees you coming and turns the other way and goes down the other hallway, or if they're trapped with you, they sort of go up against the wall and slide by you because they're trying to avoid that authority. So don't do that. Instead, go seek out that authority and bring to their attention those things for direction, for counsel, etc. Be transparent with that authority so that you understand you're doing what they want you to do rather than running your own agenda and avoiding them. Fourth way to honor authorities is to be thankful for authorities. Authorities are placed over you by God for your good. We already said they're there to build you up, not to tear you down. And for little kids, this sometimes can be hard to understand. Little kids think it's so awesome to be in charge, and they can't wait until one day when they're in charge and they can tell everyone else what to do. But it's actually a big hassle to be in charge. So when we correct you as your father, your mother, your boss, or your elder, we're not correcting you for our good. We're correcting you for your good. All right? It's not my own good. I may get some collateral benefit out of it, some side benefit, but that's mostly for your good. When I tell you to brush your teeth, it's for the good of your teeth. My teeth aren't going to get rotten if you don't brush your teeth. Your teeth are going to get rotten. When I tell you to do your homework, it's for your own good, not for my good. I did that homework a long time ago. When your boss tells you to excel at work, even that's really for your own good, right? I mean, he can get rid of you and get somebody else to do the job. But when the boss takes time to correct you and to teach you how to do a better job, he's making you more employable. It's for your good. So it doesn't really benefit me as an authority to tell you what to do and to correct you. As I said, it's a hassle. It is easier to let your teeth rot. It is easier to let you go your own way and suffer. It's easier to let you be terrible at your job and just fire you in a couple months and get somebody else. No, it's harder to correct people. So the rebuke, the point I'm making here is the rebuke is for the good of the person who is rebuked. And you should show appreciation for that rebuke or correction. And show appreciation for it by heeding it, by thanking that person who corrects you. As I said in an earlier version, thank them with English words out loud. Don't just thank them in your heart and look the other way. You can go to the boss and say, thank you for correcting me. Probably won't know how to respond to that. You can thank that person by your actions, by heeding it, by putting the correction into practice, and then by going the extra mile. You can thank that person by your attitude. This approach will honor them and will benefit you. And you should appreciate discipline also, not just rebuke and correction, but discipline. See, discipline is hard to do. It's hard to discipline another person. It is easier, as I said, to let that person go. I had a football coach in high school who yelled at us all the time. And at the end of about every practice, he would say, when they stop yelling at you, that's when I have given up on you. So, in other words, it was easier for him to say, forget it, let that person be terrible, than to bring the correction. So appreciate that that discipline is hard to do, and that discipline is a sign of love. The person who disciplines you is the person who loves you. Psalm 141 verse 5 says, let a righteous man strike me, it is a kindness. Hebrews 12, which we just read, talked over and over again about how we had earthly fathers who disciplined us and we appreciated them for it, and how that discipline is a sign of love, that God disciplines those he loves. And Proverbs 13:24 gives us both sides. It says, the man who spares the rod, who refuses to discipline, that man hates his son, but the man who loves his son is careful to discipline him. So be thankful for authorities, and be thankful for their discipline. The fifth way to honor your father and your mother is to speak to them with respect. This is a critical demonstration of your heart attitude, is how you speak to authorities. So you may have to comply outwardly. I tell my kids all the time, I'm the biggest person at my house and I got all the money. So they have to do, even if they don't want to, they have to do the thing that I tell them to do. So it's no big achievement if they outwardly comply. But your attitude, your honoring, is reflected in your speech. Do you roll your eyes at your father or mother when they're telling you what to do? Do you speak to them sarcastically? Are you a grumbler? Do you exasperate them by pretending you don't know what they want you to do? Those actions show no honor. They are disrespectful. So obedience under protest is dishonor. So don't do those things. Don't roll your eyes. Don't be mouthy or argumentative. If you have a question or a disagreement, bring it up in the right way at the right time. Otherwise, honor your parents by the way you talk to them. Speak to them with respect. Don't talk down to them. Don't talk down to the pastor. Don't talk down to the teacher. Don't talk down to the boss. Don't assume that you know better. It's more likely that you are so far off that you don't even know what you don't know. If that authority seems way off, the younger you are, the more this is true. If that authority seems way off, it's just because you lack context or wisdom or experience. And don't assume that they're out of touch or that they're ignorant or that they're against you. There's nothing new under the sun. Your parents have seen it all. Yeah, we have internet and faster things like that now, but it's just the same old problems coming up in different ways. So they have experience and they know what to do. So speak to them with respect. The sixth way to honor your parents is to speak about them with respect. Don't talk badly about your parents behind their back. Don't mock your father, your mother, your pastor, or your boss behind their back. And you may say, well, everybody does it. That's the culture these days. It's true that everybody does it, and that's the culture these days. But it is a serious sin in the eyes of God. Proverbs 30:17 is one of my favorite verses I give at home all the time. It says, the eye that mocks the father or scorns the mother will be pecked out by ravens. God views this as a serious sin. So don't you speak badly about your parents behind their back, and don't sit quietly by while somebody else does so either. If you're out on the playground and someone else is speaking badly about the teacher, don't just sit there. If somebody's mocking the minister after the sermon, don't just sit there. And especially don't let some outsider do it. If someone is in some other family is speaking badly about your father, you should stand up for the honor of your father and mother and say, don't talk that way about my mom or dad. If you stand silently by while somebody mocks your father, your mother, your pastor, that is a betrayal. It's also giving Satan a foothold in your own heart, and it's dangerous to you. So oppose and rebuke those who speak badly about your authorities. Seventh, be loyal to your father and mother and all other authorities. And this loyalty can show itself in a lot of different ways. We just said don't let people speak badly about your father, your mother, your boss, or your pastor. But also, don't go spreading around information about that person that you shouldn't spread around. Nobody is perfect. If you live with your father or mother, chances are you have seen them do something wrong or make a mistake. Don't be eager to go spread that around. The same is true of your boss, of your pastor, of anybody else. Don't go spread that around. True honoring will cover over such things. It's not going to race to spread them around. Oh, you won't believe what my dad did this morning. Oh, you won't believe how bad my teacher messed up at the chalkboard. No, true honoring covers over such things. So don't spread information that you shouldn't, and don't be ready to believe scandal or interpret things for the worst. Give them the benefit of the doubt. Give that pastor, that boss, that parent the benefit of the doubt. Eighth, keep that father or mother informed of what they should know. See, the boss needs to know information. Mom and dad need to know information. The teacher needs to know information. I'm not talking about being a self-interested tattler. Can't wait to run to dad and say, well, dad, you won't believe what sister did. She's going to get in big trouble and I'm going to enjoy it, right? That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about key information that they need to know as the head, as the authority in whatever their sphere is. So if your parents need to know something about a brother or a sister, if your boss needs to know something about a fellow employee, if your roommate is sinning, go speak to the appropriate authority. It's not snitching to do that. In fact, it's for the good of the other person, but it's also honoring to the boss. So don't dishonor the head by keeping information from the head that it should have. Ninth, you should be for authorities. Have an attitude of being for them. Not against them, not at cross purposes with them, not even just tolerating them, but being for them. They're there to govern you for your good. God said so. So help them to help you. Don't see it as us and them. It's like kids against parents or students against the teachers or employees against the boss. No, you're all on the same team. You're all in the same army. And that's especially true in family and church. We have one common mission to glorify God and enjoy him forever. So we should all be aiming towards that goal, and you should be for the person at the head of the column who's trying to lead you to that goal. So as subordinate officers in the Lord's army, we should help our superior officers to accomplish their God-glorifying mission in every way possible. So be for mom and dad or the pastor or the principal, especially the principal. 10th, pray for your authorities. It is hard to be in charge. It's hard to make decisions. It's hard to teach and train and rebuke and correct. It's hard to be the pastor. It's hard to be the elder. It's hard to be the mom, and it's hard to be the dad. There's no detailed instruction manual or answer key, and it's a lot of responsibility, and it's a lot of burden, and it's a lot of strain. And as an authority, you don't always know what to do, but you can't pass the buck to somebody else. If my children don't know what to do, they can just dump the problem onto mom or dad or somebody else. But as the appropriate authority, you can't pass that buck to somebody else. And think about it. We literally deal with life and death situations. Not all the time, but you deal with life and death situations. You deal with important decisions, and it can be hard to do. So pray for that person making those difficult decisions. And not only in those particular instances, but also the daily grind of leading, the daily grind of being in charge is hard in and of itself. So that day by day, going to work and coming home and paying the bills and leading and discipling and training for 5, 10, 20, 25 years is hard to do. So pray for those people. As St. Paul says, pray for us. So pray for authorities that they would not give in to temptation. Pray that they would overcome Satan's flaming arrows. You think Satan shoots flaming arrows at you? He shoots more flaming arrows the higher up the chain you go. He shoots the most flaming arrows at the pastor. So pray that they would overcome those flaming arrows. Pray that leaders would discharge their duties to God. These people must, says Hebrews 13, 17, they must give an account to God. So I told my children this week, I'm going to have to stand before God, and God is going to say, what did you do with Abigail? What did you do with Evangeline? What did you do with that person under you? That is a weighty responsibility to know that you're going to face God and have to give an account. So pray for that person that they would do their job well. So in conclusion, the fifth commandment is a critical commandment. It is the key to success or failure. If you succeed in honoring your mother and father, you will succeed in honoring God, and you will succeed in honoring other authorities. God will bless you, and you will succeed in this life and in the next. But if you refuse this command, if you reject this command, you will fail. You will fail at home and at work. You will fail in the church and in the society. God will be against you and opposed to you. You will fail in this life, and you will fail in the next. So I urge you to honor your father and mother, to hear God's voice speaking to you through them, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life with God and his people. Let's close in prayer. Well, Lord, this is an important word to us, and we pray, oh God, that we would put it into practice in all areas of life with all authorities, that we would see them speaking in their spheres as God speaking to us, and that we would rejoice that we know the will of God and put it into practice. We pray, bless your people and help them to carry out this word. In Jesus' name, amen.